Tonight I'm going to share a few devotional thoughts with you before we go to prayer time. A few years ago, I attended a CCA graduation here, and the speaker that night brought us a message from the book of Ecclesiastes. I was so inspired by the message that I went home that night and read through the entire book of Ecclesiastes. I kind of felt that way this morning after listening to the message from the book of Nehemiah, really just a small portion of that book. I believe it was chapter 3. It inspired me to want to go home and read all of Nehemiah, which I haven't done yet today, but I hope maybe I can do this week. Tonight I want to direct your attention to the book of Jonah, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. We don't have time to talk about the entire book of Jonah tonight, but perhaps we can share some devotional thoughts that will inspire you to go home on your own and read the book of Jonah. It's only 4 chapters. You could probably read the book of Jonah in less than 10 minutes, depending on your reading pace, of course. It's only 4 chapters. It's a marvelous little story, and it's got some very contemporary applications to us today. I don't know if you know this, but Jonah is probably one of the most captivating Sunday school stories that there is. I know when I was in Sunday school, my teachers brought us the story of Jonah, and I was captivated by it, just mesmerized by what an interesting story that is. But I want you to know that the main point of the book of Jonah is not about a man getting swallowed by a fish. That's not the main point of the book of Jonah, but of course that's what we tend to focus on because it's such an interesting story. And some people who attack God and attack His Word say it can't be true, that a man could not possibly have lived for 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish. But I want you to know, Jesus Himself referred to Jonah during His public ministry. I don't think He would have done that if this book was not inspired and true. And I don't think we have to worry about what kind of fish this was. It doesn't really matter whether it was a whale or some special fish that God created just for that occasion. We know that it's true because God says it's true. I want you to also know that Jonah was not the only prophet alive at that time. There were many, many, many prophets, I'm sure, that could have gone to the great city of Nineveh to preach the gospel. But God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. God did not reject His plan and go to just a plan B when plan A didn't seem to be working out so well. He could have gone to another prophet. He could have washed His hands of Jonah. He could have allowed Jonah to die inside the belly of that great fish. But He didn't. God had a mission for Jonah's life and ministry, and He wanted him to fulfill it. A lot of times we as Christians have a tendency to read the book of Jonah, and we become very, very judgmental of Jonah. And we say, wow, what a terrible prophet he was. God just asked him to do a simple thing, go to a city and preach the gospel, and he decided to run from God. But I don't want you to look at Jonah that way tonight, as looking down your nose at him in criticism and saying, wow, what a failure he was. I want you to think of yourself when you read the book of Jonah. Jonah is you. Jonah is me. That's the way I want you to look at this book when you go home and study it on your own. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." It's very interesting that the word great is used in this book on a number of occasions. Nineveh is a great city. The Ninevites, in fact, are great enemies of God. And there's other great things in this story. There's a great storm that comes upon the sea. There's also a great fish that comes to swallow Jonah. And there's a great revival in the city of Nineveh. These, by the way, are enemies of God's people, Israel. And God wanted to extend grace and mercy to these people. Jonah didn't. I don't believe that Jonah went the opposite direction from Nineveh because he was afraid that he was going to go preach the gospel, they were going to get angry with him, and they were going to put him to death. I don't think that's the reason Jonah didn't go to Nineveh. I think, in fact, as you read through the entire book and meditate upon it, the main reason he didn't want to go to Nineveh is because he hated the Ninevites. They were the enemies of God, and he didn't want them to repent. He wanted God to judge them and to destroy them. You see, Jonah didn't have a heart of love and grace like God has. And that's the main message in the book of Jonah. It's not about the man getting swallowed by the big fish. The main message is a contrast between the gracious nature of God and the sinful nature of mankind. Jonah, you, and me. We don't have that same love and mercy and concern for lost people that God has. That's the message of Jonah. There's a term that's used quite frequently today. You see it sometimes in some of the books that are being written by Christian authors. And the term you'll see as far as an attitude that Christians take on often, the word is tribal. Some Christians adopt a tribal mindset. In other words, it's not about them out there, people that are different than us, but it's about us in here. And we can have a tendency, even in our own church here in Ypsilanti, to focus on ourselves, and that church ought to be just everything we want it to be just for us. We want it to be just the way we would like it to be, and everybody's needs should be taken care of, and we can very easily adopt this tribal mindset instead of having a missional mindset where we're focused on the mission around us. We're focused on the people that aren't here yet. Look around tonight at the empty seats. They're not here yet, and they need God's love. They need his mercy. They need his forgiveness. And we need to have the mission-minded attitude and love and mercy and grace that God has, rather than a tribal mindset where we're focused on ourselves, antithetical to the gospel, thinking about we don't want others to come in who are different than us. Maybe they have a different background, a different culture, a different race. Maybe it's a younger generation. Maybe they're older than us. Well, we don't want them to come in and disrupt what we have going here. That would be a tribal mindset. But as you read the Bible, God's interested in redeeming people from every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. So this book shows a great, great contrast between the heart of God and the heart of man. Jonah sets, he's like the poster child for a tribal person, where God is the trophy for a missionary-minded person. So that's the main message of Jonah, not just about a man who gets swallowed by a fish. By the way, that is a significant thing that does happen, and it actually even illustrates, we find out, the fact that one day Jesus would go to the cross, he would die, and he would be buried in a tomb for 3 days and three nights, and he would rise again. And the fact that Jonah was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days and three nights actually was a picture of God's grace that was to come through Jesus. One thing we notice about Jonah in chapter 1 is when he ran away from God because he didn't love the Ninevites, was that things didn't work out the way he thought they would work out. He went in an opposite direction, but God had other plans. And that's usually what happens when you or I try to run from the will of God in our lives. Things are not going to get better for us. They're going to get worse. I also observe from these chapters that we read here in Jonah that things got worse for the people around Jonah when he was stepping outside of God's will. Things got really bad for him, but they also got bad for the people that were around him. And I think that can happen in our lives where when we run from God, and we do run from God, I think before we came to know Christ as our Savior, we were running from God, but God was running toward us. But even after we become a Christian, sometimes we still run from God because we don't want to do what God wants us to do for various reasons. But God still runs toward us even as we're running away from Him. If one principle we can learn among many other principles is that if we do run from God, God is committed to making our life miserable. It's kind of like the prodigal son, as you look at it in the New Testament, the parables that Jesus told. Things didn't get better for the prodigal son like he thought they would. This same principle is taught here in the Old Testament with the story of Jonah. The thing about Jonah also that I loved, which I meant to mention earlier, is the fact that the focus of this prophet is not on the words that he said. It's just on the man himself. We learn it's a storied presentation of the gospel, and we learn from the man, not so much from his message. Now, that's not the way with every prophet in the Old Testament. If you go to the book of Jeremiah or Isaiah, Ezekiel, some of these other great prophets, the focus is more on what they said. They thus saith the Lord, and you'll go through pages and pages of scripture as they are the mouthpiece of God's truth, telling the Israelites or someone else to repent and turn to God, and they're bringing a prophecy and a message of truth to the people. But when you read about the prophet Jonah, you really only have about a 4 or 5 or 6 word sermon that he preaches to the Ninevites, which we get to later in the book. So the focus is not on the message here, but it's on the man himself. And again, I want you to think about Jonah as you and try to put that into perspective as to what is it that God wants you to do, which maybe you're running from, maybe I'm running from. So if you do run from God, He's committed to making you miserable. As you get into chapter 1, you'll read the verses about the great storm that comes upon the sea and how upset the sailors are. And how Jonah does, he's already told them the story that he's running from God. And these men are in great fear. And Jonah's willing to say, you know, to say to them, I'm the problem here. If you cast me overboard, God's probably going to extend grace to you. And we read that he does. The sea is calm after they've thrown him overboard. And the sailors themselves were very, very concerned with great fear of this true God of Israel. What would become of them if they took a man, what they thought was an innocent man, and threw him overboard? Would God hold them accountable for that? They were greatly concerned, but it was the best thing that they could have done in this situation. So anyway, when you get to chapter 3 of Jonah, which I hope you'll read on your own, we do find that verse 1 of chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So it's good to see here that God does give people second chances. I'm glad that He does extend grace to us and gives us second chances when we fail miserably. Oh, and by the way, if you do want to run from God like Jonah did, if any of us want to do that, there's plenty of opportunity to do that. There's always a ship going the other way. And that's the temptation of the world that we constantly are faced with. And our own self and the devil, there's always a ship going the other way that we can get into. But God continues to pursue us and wants us to do His will, and He has a job perhaps that only we can do, or that He wants to be glorified in us and through us. Another lesson, if I can find it here in my notes, that I'd like to share with you tonight when you think about the book of Jonah is that we learn here in this book that you can run from God in disobedience when He asks you to do something. Perhaps He puts a burden in your heart to start a new ministry out of Calvary Baptist Church, something that's going to be a ministry that's going to have some outreach right here in our local community. Perhaps there's something you can do that others are not in the position to do. They don't have the skill set to do, but only you can do that. And perhaps you keep saying no to God. I don't have time. I don't want to invest time. You can run from God in disobedience. But this book also teaches that you can even run from God in obedience. Because when Jonah got a second chance to go to Nineveh, he kind of went kicking and screaming. And he still didn't want to go. And even when good things happened, when they heard the message and they repented, from the king of the city on down, this huge city took 3 days to walk across the city. And he gave a simple message relative to repentance. And they did repent. And Jonah was bitter at God about it, because that's not what he had in mind for the Ninevites. He didn't want to see them spared. He wanted God to judge them. So even though he was doing what God told him to do the second time around, he wasn't happy about the results of what God accomplished. We can learn a lot of lessons from that. You could certainly say that it just goes to show you that it's God who does the work, the convicting work that causes people to change and to repent. It certainly wasn't Jonah, because it does not appear that he went with the right attitude or that he had the right love toward the people there. But in spite of all of that, God chose to bring repentance to that city and cause these heathen people really to turn to God. So God gets the glory for that, not Jonah. And we see that Jonah was angry and oppressed because of God's grace, even toward the enemies of Israel. There's such a contrast between Jonah and Jesus. We know the scripture makes it clear that Jesus contrasted with Adam. He's sometimes called the second Adam, and he was a better Adam. He was much better than the first Adam. He's also much better than this Jonah. In Jonah, you see rebellion. When God wanted him to go to Nineveh, you know, he rebelled against that. Christ never rebelled against what his Father wanted him to do. He knew what the mission was. Every single word, every single message he got from God the Father, he followed it. He obeyed it in complete submission. Another thing you see is that Jonah, in the end of the book, has external compliance with what God wants him to do, but it's kind of with a disengaged heart. His heart's not really in it. Jesus wasn't that way at all. The book of Philippians says that there was joy in his heart, the joy that was set before him to endure the cross, despising the shame and the suffering. And then with Jonah, you see that he gets angry at God and depressed because of God's grace to the Ninevites. Jesus, on the other hand, had that joyful extension of God's grace toward his enemies. It says in the Gospels that he set his face like a flint to go toward Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. They were going to put him on trial. They were going to put him to death. He was going to be separated from God, his Father, when he died there on the cross, because God was going to turn his back on his own Son because he was bearing our sins. Jesus knew all of that. He knew it would happen. He knew when it would happen. And yet he joyfully ran toward it, because that was the will of the Father. Jonah did not have joy. He became angry and depressed because of God's grace. So my time is pretty much gone tonight. I'd like to spend some time for a few minutes here tonight in prayer, and we'll refer to our prayer bulletins. But I hope something I may have said tonight might inspire you to go home, read the book of Jonah, take a fresh look at the book, and find out if it's significant in your life. And find out from reading the book, as a way to self-evaluation, do I have a tribal mindset? How much do I love the Ninevites surrounding me? Those who don't love God, who don't know God. Am I running from God? Does he want me to do something here in this ministry, in this local community, some way that I could serve him better? Some way that I could be effective in reaching others for Christ? Am I willing to follow what he wants me to follow? Have I been running for a long time? Does God want me to take on a missional mindset, to be missionary minded? And finally, am I angry at God about something he's doing that I don't feel good about? Maybe we can all self-examine our own hearts and learn from the object lesson of Jonah here that we can apply to our lives today. Okay, I'd like you to take your prayer bulletins now. I'd like you to refer to that, and we're going to spend about 10 minutes or so in prayer before we dismiss tonight. I was just taking a glance at this before, actually during the song time there, and some of the things that were stated here as prayer requests, I found relevant to what I had been thinking about concerning the lessons of Jonah. And under the category called Build My Church, it's talking about outreach opportunities. The last bullet point there says to be open and willing to reach those who do not look, act, or talk like or agree with us. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. I thought, wow, I'm going to be talking about this tribal mindset, and that's kind of like praying that we don't have that tribal mindset. Many other needs on this prayer list for our church as we seek a pastor. Health needs, that's always a long list. We have so many in our family, church family, that have health needs. The different ministries, including Calvary Christian Academy. We really had a good year this past year, and we're trusting God to give us another good year to bring in more students to us before the new school year starts. Missions Committee, we've got a great missions committee led by Bob Cropsey. Let's pray for the work that they do, kind of behind the scenes. Sometimes their work is not front and center, and we don't really know the things they're doing. Sunday School Ministries, we've got some good ABFs going on. CBC Kidsville, Puppet Ministry, Vacation Bible School going on right now. What a great opportunity to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ. And hopefully we can get into the homes to reach the moms and the dads. Our youth ministry, high school, camp ministry, college ministry, many, many different opportunities to pray, many different opportunities to serve. Many things to be thankful for. Would anybody like to add any prayer requests to this list tonight before we break up and spend a few minutes praying? Okay, here's what you can do. It's pretty much, you have a lot of freedom of choice here tonight. You could, if you're here with your family tonight and you want to just kind of have a family prayer time, that would be fine. If you see somebody sitting near you that you could join up with them and pray for a few minutes, you could do that. If a couple of the young people want to get together and pray, that would be great as well. Whatever you want to do. Let me look at my phone here and see what time it is. It is 7 o'clock, so let's try to spend, 8 or 10 minutes in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Okay? Let's do that. Thank you very much for listening. Go home and read Jonah.